Herzlich willkommen zum BVL-Podcast. Ich bin euer Host Boris Felgendreher und mein Gast heute ist Ashwin Barth, der CEO von Lufthansa Cargo. Ich habe Ashwin kürzlich am Rande der BVL Supply Chain CX in Berlin getroffen und mit ihm über die aktuellen Herausforderungen und die Zukunft der Luftfracht in der globalen Logistik gesprochen. Ashwin kommt gebürtig aus Indien, deshalb haben wir diese Folge auf Englisch aufgenommen. Ich wünsche euch viel Spaß.
Hello Ashwin, welcome to the BVL Podcast. Thanks for being on the program.
Good morning. Thank you very much for your invitation. It's a pleasure to be talking to you this morning.
I've been very, very much looking forward to the conversation. And the very first thing that came to my mind, or the thing that popped into my head when I realized we're going to have this conversation is, I'm going to have to ask you, how was your trajectory, your path from India to Germany?
So for me, it's a privilege to be called, I call myself a global citizen. I had the fortune to experience three cultures, the Indian culture, the Swiss culture, and now the German culture. Mm-hmm. So that's the journey I have had. Started in Mumbai, studied, grew up. Started my first steps in air cargo in Mumbai. Taking a little bit sidetrack, Swissair in 92 decided to move their back office for cargo to India. And they started a subsidiary or a company over there. And I was one of the people to join over there. But my education is in chemistry. I'm a Bachelor of Science Chemistry. So obviously...
That's quite a career change, I have to say.
Yeah, it is. But that's how fate works. Sometimes you plan something and you get an opportunity somewhere else. And that's what has happened. But actually, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a film director, a Bollywood film director. So that's my...
Is it every Indian boy's dream to become a Bollywood film director? It's quite common, probably.
I don't know. But I think I'm in the right place because air cargo has all the drama.
We'll get into it a little bit later.
So from chemistry, I moved to a subsidiary of Swiss Air Cargo in 1992 as a data capturing agent. 3 years later, I was asked to move to Switzerland on deputation for 1.5 years to develop the IT system. Went back to India to implement the IT system and then moved to a full-time for 2 years contract to Switzerland in 1999. And then around that time, Swissair also collapsed. And then opportunities came every year, every second, third year. And one thing led to another, and I ended up my career, which was initially not even thought that I would go for air cargo, as head of cargo at Swiss, before moving to Lufthansa Cargo in 2021 as their chief commercial officer. 2 years later, I was nominated as the CEO of Lufthansa Cargo. So.
In short form, that's your career path?
Yeah. Started in 1992 in cargo.
And all the way up, I mean, from the very basics, from a data entry person yep. to the CEO of one of the leading
So I knew about players. Germany and Frankfurt by the three-letter code in the Everbill. That's how the first contact with the global network came, is three-letter codes, yes.
Yeah.
So I've seen a lot of functions within my career. I've been fortunate enough, and I call it blessed. So.
And you spent your entire career inside this industry?
Yes. Cargo from 1st September 1992, started in cargo, and now it's 4th of October 2025, still in cargo.
Yeah.
Air cargo.
And a lot has changed. A lot of things have happened in the industry in these years that you've been part of the industry. Give us a little bit of an overview of the Lufthansa Cargo Group, just to get a basic understanding. So our audience is all logistics supply chain professionals, so we have a basic understanding, but just to get everybody sort of set the stage for our conversation ahead.
Sure.
Take us through the setup of the Lufthansa Cargo Group.
So Lufthansa Cargo is, I would say, is one of the most reputed and respected brand of the global air cargo industry.
So,
Lufthansa Cargo, I would say, is known for three aspects: quality, reliability, and the most important, expertise of its people. Having said that, Lufthansa Cargo manages the belly capacity of the passenger airlines of Lufthansa Group. Mm-hmm. That means we manage the belly capacity not only of Lufthansa, but also Austrian Airlines, Brussels Airlines, Discover, ITA.
Right.
And that's what we are. So 50% of our capacity that we manage as Lufthansa Cargo is belly capacity of passenger airlines. Mm-hmm. The other 50% is freighters. So we have 22 freighters within our network, 18 B777 freighters, and 4 A321 freighters, which we fly within Europe. So that's what we are. Our mission is enabling global business under the purpose of connecting people, cultures, and economies in a sustainable way. That's who we are. We are known, for, like I said, for our quality. So our focus is on care-intensive cargo or high-valued cargo, be it pharmaceutical, for automotive, now it's about semiconductor, wherever you require a bit of a focus and high quality, I would say Lufthansa Cargo is the calling card for most of the forwarders. We are 4,000 people, 4,200 people globally, focused on all the topics which is there about digitalization, sustainability, which has been spoken about. As a Lufthansa Cargo, we also have a number of subsidiaries focused on different areas like time matters or customs broker. Mm-hmm. But we also have joint ventures in China for handling, in Shanghai, in Shenzhen, and also with other airlines, our joint venture partners, United over the Atlantic and Cathay Pacific in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. For the moment, our joint venture with ANA is paused, and we will soon revive it.
Yeah. If you look back onto your career, how has the industry changed over the years?
It's like the world. Let's be very clear. Air cargo is an intrinsic part of global trade. And it depends on everything that happens on a macroeconomic level. So when I started...
The ups and the downs, both of it.
that's what makes it exciting. And when the Generation Z is always asking why, that's air cargo is the answer to this. Every day is a new day. When I started in Mumbai to communicate with Zurich, the head office, we used to send faxes or telex messages. So for me to work on WhatsApp or SMS is very easy because three-letter way to shorten the words into two letters is that's what telex was all about, and that's the communication which we started. I still remember things were printed, sent out from Zurich to be printed in Mumbai. We had dot matrix printers, which used to take a big room, not just a small table, but a big room, air-conditioned room, and so on. So that's where it started. When I started, there was hardly computers had just come in. There was certainly no Excel. Email was telexes, faxes. To today, where we are talking about instant communication, messaging being sent, mobile phone, and the whole topic of AI and digitalization and sustainability and the different type of products that we talk about is phenomenal growth that has happened in the last 30 years, which I was fortunate to come.
Yeah, let's dive into your digital transformation journey a little bit later, but let's look at the macro picture as mm-hmm. it is right now. You've been through challenges in the past, talking about corona epidemic, for example, was a major disruption of the industry, created huge fluctuations. But if you're looking at the landscape today, it's also a very, very challenging environment currently as you see it. Describe to us what the major macro factors are right now that you're concerned about, that you have to have on your radar.
You know, air cargo is impacted by what happens in the world. Like you said, the macroeconomics, the volatility. But on the flip side, air cargo thrives on the volatility. There is an intrinsic opportunity within the volatility which is there. And that's where Lufthansa Cargo plays a role, because we bring reliability, we bring stability towards our customers. What we clearly see is that geopolitical stability, if you want to call it, the trade shifts, economic uncertainty is happening all around us, even including supply chain disruption is happening around there. Having said that, what I would like to say is globalization is not dead, it is just changing. And that's actually happening in front of our eyes. How trade is shifting from different regions, between different regions, somewhere else.
There's a lot of trends, for example, reshoring and nearshoring and making it more localized could probably hurt your business. Some people have argued, well, we've reached peak globalization and it's downhill from here. You would probably not subscribe to that.
The numbers don't say that. Yeah. If I look at the numbers, that's not what it is going to be. Supply chain is so intrinsically or developed that it's not going to be an easy thing to shift from one day to another. What you talk about nearshoring and is going to happen, that's clear. Yeah. But that's what the capabilities of an organization is, to understand what's happening and adapt accordingly. Yeah. Either I can say, yeah, it's all finished.
Yeah.
And how do I switch off the light? Or I say, no, there are opportunities to find different ways of doing business. And I don't underline that we have reached peak of globalization. I personally believe, like I said, globalization is not dead. It is just changing. And we can actually see how globalization or the business trade within intra-Asia or between Asia to Europe is changing from one origin to another origin. And I personally believe that's going to continue.
Yeah, and you have to prepare now for the future. Dive a little bit deeper into how you see these flows of goods changing from a region perspective. Where do you think the future growth is going to come from? How is this going to shift?
Asia was, is, and will be a big topic. If you look between China and USA, yes, there is an impact between China and USA. But the shift is happening between China and Europe on a positive way. You clearly see it's shifting from China to other Asian destinations in Southeast Asia to Europe is changing. The intra-Asia trade is increasing. Those are the things we clearly see. And one of the reasons why we have put the A321 is we see is North Africa is developing, be it from automotive or be it from pharmaceutical. It is developing. We clearly South America is growing. Is a growing market and an interesting market and a trading partner for Europe, which is happening. So this is what it is all about. Your question is, this is the shifts which are actually seeing without getting into the details of what type of commodities are going. But this is the shift which we are actually seeing. Africa is still not there, but it is it's coming up. And that's what we have to be open about. And it's not just about the origins and the destination, the type of commodities also is changing.
Yes.
Because there is a super cycle of investment happening in Europe. So are we going to be present over there, be it in the semiconductor area or pharmaceutical industry? Germany is heavily dependent on automotive. I know there is a thought Germany is going down, but EV at the same time is increasing. So what does it mean for air cargo? What is the commodities that is being transported? So I personally believe we as an industry should be optimistic because it's not about just agility is going to play. It's also the ability. So the real story is going to be how do you merge ability and the agility? That's going to be the real story because it's all about learning new trends. It's about learning new commodities, creating that expertise to give that value service to your customer. That is going to be the differentiating factor. So what is true in the past is not going to be there. But if you don't have that agility and develop that ability.
Yeah. Any developments that have really surprised you? For example, in terms of the types of goods that are being transported, I'm talking about the e-commerce boom from China into Europe, for example.
Sure, it got
us. Was that a big surprise to you? Or did you see that coming? Was that a positive surprise?
It was a positive surprise. it was a positive surprise. And it just popped up from one day to another.
Yeah.
We knew it was coming, but the way it grew in 2024 was phenomenal. And then, quite frankly, it's going to grow from, 15% in 2019 to 30% of global air cargo by 2027. That's what.
So you don't consider it like a temporary bubble, but you see it actually growing in a more linear fashion?
You know, COVID has changed the buying behavior of the end consumers. I see it in my home. Mm-hmm. I hardly go to a shopping mall to buy things. My daughter is mostly buying it via the apps. Mm-hmm. And how many times somebody is knocking on our door to drop the boxes. I don't see this behavior changing from one day to another. I jokingly sometimes say, I think I need a sorter in my house because amount of packages that are coming in.
Yeah.
So the buying behavior has changed and it's not going to go back to the old way of doing business.
But this particular instance where we're using air cargo to transport little packages from China into Europe and into the US, for example, there's major initiatives in place to put a stop to that. Hence my question, do you consider a short-term welcomed little bubble that you're taking advantage of and now it's sort of going away or?
No, we don't see. Okay, the peak of last year is not there, but it's still on a very high level.
Yeah.
So it's not like from 100, it has gone down to 50. But that was just one commodity. That was in 2024. This year, there is another commodity which is flying around is the whole semiconductor business, the server racks. So we are going to be always joked about in the last years, Airbnb is a hotel without hotel rooms or Uber without taxis. And now we have farms without farmers, which is the server farms, which is popping up all over the world with cloud technology. So the amount of server racks and semiconductor business, which is flying around is huge. So this is what I'm trying to say is that things are going to come up and you need to have that ability to recognize it. And the agility to adapt yourself.
Yeah. You've mentioned a couple of industries already and products also, but let's dive a little bit deeper into what industries and products are absolutely essential for air freight? Like which industries and products are typically, to a large extent, traveling by air freight?
Air cargo is required for speed. You know, in general, let me start in another way. air cargo represents just 2% by volume of global trade, 2%. Mm-hmm. But it accounts for 35% of global trade by value. So that underlines the strategic significance of air cargo. Mm-hmm. So if it's about 35% value, it is about high-yield cargo. Cargo, commodities which require speed, commodities which require security, safety. And those are the type of cargo which will always be coming towards us. And that's recognized. So if you boil down to what type of commodities, we are talking about pharmaceutical. We are going to talk about semiconductors. We are going to talk about automotive. We are talking about valuables and so on. And those are the commodities that we are going to be focused on and drive towards. And with the super cycle investment which Europe is going to make, we have to see what role air cargo will be playing.
Yeah. You've started talking about your digital transformation journey, and you gave some insights into how you started in 1992, how the world looked then and how the world looks now. What are some of the major things that you guys have done at Lufthansa Cargo to drive digital transformation of the business?
Lufthansa Cargo is known as a leader within the industry for taking that role for new initiatives coming to over the last years, and that's what we would like to continue. For me, technology for the sake of technology doesn't work. It has to add efficiency. It has to add value, not only for ourselves, but to our customers. And that's what we see. We spoke about air cargo, the USPs of air cargo. And one of the USP which we need to develop further is transparency. So we use technology to create further transparency about a shipment. In today's, I jokingly internally say, is that in today's life, when we order a pizza, we actually know where the pizza is. Is it being prepared? It's on the way. It's on your door. Air cargo sometimes don't even know when we are transporting from A to B where the shipment is. And I think that's something as an industry we need to develop. And it's not just about airlines, but it is a supply chain. So we need to have this connectivity across. So the IATA initiative of One Record is a crucial one, and we are working with IATA to be the leader in implementing One Record. But having said that,
are you happy with the progress?
It can be faster, yes, mm-hmm. but soon 2026 is going to come. Mm-hmm. But one thing we should be very clear is we can talk as much as we want, but collectively as an industry, we need to commit ourselves to achieving this target.
Yeah.
So let's see. I'm first.
What are some of the most frustrating obstacles to being faster?
At the end, it's all about people.
Uh-huh.
It's technology, it's there, it's the people. We romanticize about the past and not embrace the future, which is coming towards us.
And how to speed it up is like more collaboration, more...
More collaboration, more investment, walking the talk and making it happen. And standing to your commitment. You can say we will do this, but then you need to be accountable for that. And that's what it is all about, I would say.
What's been the biggest game changer for you in terms of a digital technology that you've employed that really made a big difference?
It's not that one thing which is done. It's across different areas, because as Lufthansa Cargo, we have handling, we have sales, we have back offices, accounting. So we are doing a lot of these things, revenue management, operations. But I think what I'm excited about is, like all of us, I would say, is we were talking about how technology has even changed what we are, the mic which we are talking in now, how recording, how AI is going to help us in this growth. We have started taking baby steps to it. And I always say that our business, air cargo, is a digital business. In the sense is we are always going to transport a physical thing. And the question is, how do you merge this physical world with the digital world? And that's the true magic about it. And AI, for me, is one of the tools which we need to talk about, and we have started baby steps. So I give you one example. Even in 2025, a number of bookings that come to Lufthansa Cargo is via emails. And then we hire smart educators.
Still to this day.
Yeah, in October 2025, we still get emails, phone calls, so on, because it's a people's business too. Okay. And then we hire smart educated people to convert these emails into our booking tool. And that's waste of efficiency, that's waste of knowledge, where we can use these people for a solution, to give solutions. So what we have used technology is created a button in our email where they click at button, and it not even takes 2 seconds to convert that email into a booking record. Obviously, the colleagues, because it's AI, it's learning on its own and so on. But slowly it's converting that my global organization is not going to spend capturing data, but just click a button and it gets transferred into booking. So that's one area which I believe is there. Yeah. The other is...
Let me interject and ask. You've mentioned the human factor.
Yeah.
Do you think that's always going to be the case, or are we looking towards a world where all of this will be completely automated and just working in the background? I mean, eventually we'll have a world like that, or do you always see a human in the middle?
I don't want to call myself old school, but I personally believe air cargo logistics was, is, and will be a people's business.
Technology, even if the technology is there to fully automate what you just described, somebody
technology will
booking,
always,
for example.
Technology will always be there to bring us efficiency, to help reduce manual work. But people will always be there to build relationship, to build trust, and to offer solutions. Because air logistics, we spoke about it, global trade, the global world around us, is volatile, is changing constantly. So there needs to be a person around you to give you solutions to your problems, and that's where the people will come. Technology will help us to do it better. Technology is helping us in recording this. Mm-hmm. And editing it later on, but it's not changing you to be a robot. I don't think so. If I speak to a robot, this is going to be the same relationship. An avatar of Ashwin and an avatar of Boris is not going to bring the same magic like two real people are bringing. And I truly believe in that. Maybe I'm completely wrong. Technology will help us to a large extent, and we have to be open. A number of jobs will be converted and changed because of AI. But 100%, I don't think so. Because my customers are people, my staff are people, and everybody I relate to is people. So until there is going to be everybody robots, I don't think so. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. But so, you still think AI is going to have a major impact on the business, clear. The way you operate, the efficiency?
I just gave you this one example in the office.
Yeah.
In our warehouse, we have a lot of people working. And one of the functions which is there in our warehouse is to carry cargo from one place to another. So we had these tractors, if I want to call it, with humans sitting and driving within our warehouse.
Yeah.
We are converting that into automated vehicles.
Yeah.
So we have already implemented, we have two automated vehicles as a learning, which is just traveling within our warehouse without any human intervention. And if that is successful, we are going to invest into more and more of this. That means I don't require drivers anymore.
Yeah. And that's an area where theoretically a human is not absolutely necessary.
No,
right?
But there has to be a human to program it to make sure that it's
the jobs working. Will change as other jobs.
Jobs will change. And that's what it is going to be. Leadership, according to me, is going to become more and more important. And everybody has to become a leader to have that attitude to find solution for your customers, and then be smart enough to use technology.
Do you use AI in your own personal everyday?
Sure. Every day.
ChatGPT and stuff like that.
Quite frankly, I don't think so. I have really written an email in the last 6 months, because I actually write what I want to say, and then I use Copilot to say constructed it in a smart, grammatically correct way. And just one fun aspect, if I may say that.
Yeah.
So last year, Christmas time is soon coming. Last time Christmas, I was thinking, what do I send to my leadership teams? What do I send to my colleagues? Usually you give a book or a wine bottle or whatever. I said, no, let me use technology. So I wrote into ChatGPT specifications of Jan, what Jan is all about, my colleague Jan is all about, and his peculiarities, and said to ChatGPT, make a poem out of it. And it created a beautiful poem of four sentences. But I was not enough with that, happy with that. Then I took this poem and went into another AI tool for creating music. I put it into that and it said, create a music, rock music for these this poetry. And it created a fantastic, in 20 seconds for 20 euros, a rock music, which was personalized. Yes, it's not in the Billboard top 20.
Not yet.
Not yet, but Jan is happy, and that's how you play, and that's how I use AI to a lot of things in my personal as well as in at work areas. It's all about efficiency to do meetings and so on and so forth. It's going to change.
Yeah. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about a big elephant in the room that's always been associated with air freight is sustainability. Because it's a big global CO2 footprint, let's make no mistake about it, and it's very, very hard to change it over time. What's your perspective on how far we've come so far in avoiding greenhouse gas emissions from air freight?
All of us need to do, and I wouldn't just say air cargo, but all of us have to do much more. But in air cargo, 90% or 99% of the CO2 footprint is flying. And one of the big topic which we are talking about is investing into new aircrafts. And that's where Lufthansa Cargo has invested into new aircrafts over the last years. And I think we are one of the airline with the youngest fleet, 7.5 years
So a more modern fleet makes a big difference. Can you give an example? How much leverage is there?
Approximately 30% reduction. B777 versus the old type of aircraft which is done. But the other big topic is for us is about sustainable aviation fuel. But for that, we have to work with our customers and the end customers. And that's a big lever in reducing the CO2 using the sustainable aviation fuel. And over there, it is about 80% less carbon footprint when we use SAF versus the normal kerosene, which is being done.
Yeah. But are you optimistic that we're going to get enough volume of sustainable aviation fuels at the right price?
At this moment of time, it's not available. Mm-hmm. But technology, again, we have to be optimistic that technology will help us to solve these problems. But it's also the regulatory framework around us which needs to help for us to achieve this kind of numbers, which will make an actual difference. Cost is right now the big barrier because the production is small.
Yeah, but you're optimistic. Do you have timelines that you're working with? Anything you're looking forward to? Do you think, are you optimistic about it? Are you sort of more realistic about how much?
I would like to be optimistic, but realistically, it's a work ahead of us.
Yeah.
To achieve the targets that we have all set for ourselves. Yeah. Because the production is not there. And one of the biggest is also the regulatory cost, at least within Europe. The regulatory framework and the demands which has been put on the European carriers, we believe is not a level playing field versus the non-European carriers. And that's something we always urge the regulatory bodies in Europe and in Germany to look into to have a level playing field.
Mm-hmm. So another area of collaboration where we have to work with other industry players too.
Other industry players and the authorities, because these are topics which cannot be done alone by Lufthansa Cargo. But we need the customers, the forwarders, we need the shippers, because at the end of the day, that's the ultimate customer. Right. And then obviously the authorities to create that kind of a framework.
Mm. Are there other non-obvious ways to mitigate greenhouse gas emissions apart from fuels and fleets, the obvious ones? Are there any additional sort of non-obvious ones?
Yeah, converting our, what you call the cars within our warehouse from kerosene-driven or diesel-driven to electrical, which we have done. Obvious one is obviously having solar panels on our warehouse to convert. Looking at the type of wood that we are using for our pallets or the plastic sheets or the non-plastic which we use for covering the cargo. So there are a lot of steps. But the biggest lever is aircrafts.
Yeah.
Like I said, 99% is driven by aircrafts, and that's what we are invested in.
I can imagine it's a little bit frustrating for you because you wish for more change and quicker change, but it's sort of outside of your hands.
Yeah, but
is
we
it
are
frustrating
part,
to you.
I don't call it frustrating. That's the part
the wrong,
of our,
the wrong word.
That's the part of our business. We are part of a supply chain. We are as strong as our weakest link, and there are certain topics where I am responsible for, and I have to do the best I can do in that. But the others, we have to play with that supply chain, whether you want to use frustrating or tiring or whatever you want to call, but that's the reality of the business we are in.
Yeah. Another aspect I was wondering about is the threats and the sort of different risks. We talked about war situations. Mm-hmm. Now we're talking about totally different situations with drones circling over airports and sort of new areas of disruption possible by non-positive players in the world. Are you concerned about that?
Sure.
The threats are changing, right?
We all faced it in the last days or last weeks in Munich with the drones.
Exactly.
But that's a constant threat. But IT, cybersecurity is a threat. Dangerous goods, lithium batteries in cargo is a threat. And that's why as Lufthansa Cargo, we are very focused in our safety topic and our security topic. Electrical vehicles. We are one of the only carrier in the world who have. We don't transport electrical vehicles because we are not sure about the type of batteries which is there and how to mitigate if there is a fire. So it's better to be safe than sorry. And we take those steps. For us, safety is of paramount importance for us. And if it is not safe, we are ready to say no to the business. So yes, it is worrying. It also takes a lot of management focus. It requires a lot of investments to mitigate all these risks. But air cargo is all about volatility and uncertainty. And whoever is better able and has the ability to manage these is going to be the one who's going to be successful. That's why I say always ability and agility are the two core which we need to develop going forward. Mm-hmm. Need it now and we will require in the future.
Yeah. You talked a little bit earlier about the different stakeholders or players of the ecosystem that mm-hmm. makes up the air freight business. One of the essential players are logistics service providers. How has the relationship changed between the customers and freight forwarders and airlines?
Again, I'm repeating. We are connected to each other. We cannot just ignore with each other. And it's a people's business. So it's up to you. How do you want to maintain that relationship? I think COVID has taught us that we are dependent on each other. And for me, the customers also realize that they want to work with airlines who are, what I call it, not only capable, but are also ethical. Because the topic we just spoke about, sustainability, is a big topic as well. So they look into what is your ability to transport safely, ability to transport high-yield cargo, but also organizations who are ethical. And that's how it works. And I think those are the things which is changing. I think one thing which is changing is slowly is it's no more about just capacity and price. It's also about the ability to offer solutions. Mm-hmm. Because the type of cargo that is being transported in air cargo is changing. So pharmaceutical is not just about pharmaceutical, but about temperature. It's about taking it in a right way. A semicon is not just about transporting, but carrying it in a very safe way and reliably. That's the basic line. So that's how I think it's not changed. It has evolved. The requirements have evolved.
And if we've taken a few steps at looking into the future now in this conversation, but if you can have a few more sort of predictions of how the industry will change over the next few years in a major way. He's laughing. You're laughing.
Yeah, because air cargo is such a short-term business. Sometimes it's even difficult. If you ask me what's going to happen in November, uh-huh. I wouldn't be able to tell you right now, in November 2025. But looking into the future, it's clear. Globalization, we started with that. And I will still repeat, globalization is not dead. It is just changing. Mm-hmm. And we need to be ready for globalization. We need to use the new customers which are coming in. It's going to be sure. New customers, when I talk about new customers, I'm not talking about the forwarders, I'm talking the end customers mm-hmm. and commodities which are coming. It's going to come. We don't even know, maybe something like e-commerce, which just popped up, something else might come. I think there is an economic value in the whole technology area. We need to be open and not see it as a threat into the whole thing. And the last but not least is people. I think we need to understand the work, the people who are going to come, the talent that is going to come into the workforce has a different mindset, have a different expectation than what the past was. And we as an organization need to create that culture to make them welcome. Because at the end of the day, it's the people who will make the difference of how to use the technology, how to find solutions. And if they don't feel comfortable in this, according to me, since I've spent 30 years in this exciting industry, mm-hmm. organizations were going to have an impact. Leadership is going to be, because the uncertainty, the volatility, the whatever you want to call it, is going to continue. If you think it's going to stop in 2026, I think it's not. So leadership,
probably the opposite, it's going to increase more than
so anything. That's why leadership is required to give that, to communicate very clearly what is your strategy going forward, what does it mean? The optimistic mindset is required into the future. The courageous mindset is required into the future. Mm-hmm. And I think these are the aspects which is required to be very open in 3 years' time. Yes, technology will be different. Commodities will be different. Globalization is not dead, will change. But it's most important is the whole attitude of handling whatever is coming towards us, because air cargo is at the center of what's happening in Africa, to Asia, to America, and Europe, and we will have to manage it. And that's what I believe is what is going to happen in 3 years. And that's what Lufthansa Cargo is focused on, and that's why our strategy is called Bold Moves. We need to be bold, stepping into the future, and our business is constantly moving. So in a moving world, be bold.
That's a beautiful final word. Ashwin, thank you very much for the awesome conversation. I wish you the best of luck with the business. And take care until next time.
Thank you very much. All the very best and hope to see you around.
Thank you.
Take care.
So, das war der BVL-Podcast mit Ashwin Bhat, dem CEO von Lufthansa Cargo. Ich hoffe, euch hat es gefallen und ihr seid beim nächsten Mal wieder dabei. Für heute sage ich Tschüss und auf Wiederhören. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Euer Boris Felgendreher.